Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Trying to wake everybody up as we head into the weekend with some discordant guitar that is Sonic Youth with Silver Rocket. Track 2 from Daydream Nation, in honor of our guests in Memphis this week, the Houston Rockets.
Job bobblehead night. Do you have any stuff? You got the scarf. I know you like the scarf. What do you have for good? No, the sunglasses. That's your number one stuff.
If you give me free sunglasses, I will wear your free sunglasses because I go through about half a dozen pairs of sunglasses every summer, and I don't like to spend money on them. And so either I'm using free sunglasses or I'm buying like $12 sunglasses at Walgreens or whatever. I don't get a lot of stuff. Like you fancy radio people, like get all this stuff.
We used to get it. Back when they had a hard time selling tickets because John didn't play for the franchise, we would get a little bundle and there'd be the promotion item and tickets. Yeah. And they would often be lower bowl tickets. Now, as a print journalist, you couldn't accept free tickets. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that.
Right.
And I'm not, just because I'm over here at the radio station, I probably still shouldn't have done it. But I would often take the tickets and give them to people or whatever else.
Right.
And you'd get the free stuff. They used to give you the free stuff in the press room. They would have the free stuff for you.
Occasionally
there.
They do.
Sometimes.
And every once in a while, like I have a standing request. Like I have to have a magnet schedule. Like,
right. You know, did you get the Zeebo album? What is the Zeebo?
I did get the Zeebo album.
What is that?
I got an advance on the Zeebo album. Shout out Pugs. Because I mean,
you actually care about Zeebo. You care about albums, and most people, you have a record player.
I've created a certain niche for myself in the realm of Grizzlies culture. So there, from time to time, I'm informally consulted on some things, and like a Zeebo album, that was one of those I knew about for a long time.
Okay, so it's kind of a travesty that I also own a Zeebo album
without
a record player. What happens if I had a record player and I put the album? Is it highlights?
If I remember correctly, like one side is basically like game calls and stuff like that. Like the blue collar player, blue collar town.
Yep.
That's the number one soundbite on that. Like that interview of Doris Burke's on there. And there's other, like, I think there's some Hasseltine, Pranica game calls. And then there's some interview stuff, like some of the interviews he did on Vernon's show, I think he's on side two. But it's all that kind of stuff. It's not songs.
It's audio. Have you ever listened to it?
I've played it, yeah. I don't like, you know.
Right, you're not at home playing.
I do have it on the Zeebo. I do have it on the shelf with my other records. I got that. You do too, because they ended up giving out, not that you would have had it anyway, because I think you were also consulted on this on the front end. When they did the like 20-year history, 20 years of Grizzlies, 20 bobbleheads thing, they informally polled a few of us about who should be on that. Some of the long-time people had been around for the whole stretch. And I think you and I. But they ended up giving out to everybody, so we're not special. I think all the media people got those, not just the people who they polled on the front
end. It's not really important that I have it. It's that I have it and you don't. That's what
matters. That's right. So I've got that, but it's just boxed up in a closet somewhere.
A job bobblehead. I don't really need it. And my kids would just have to get rid of it someday. But I would like a job bobblehead. That's tonight. You have a piece up about Jaren Jackson Jr. Obviously, we discussed Jaren yesterday, but now you went and put some numbers to it. I commend the piece to people because it's fabulous. And among the things, it was interesting. Only three other Grizzlies have ever had a stretch of 25 or more points for five straight games. Is that right? And they are Ja Morant, Marc Gasol, and Rudy Gay. Do you recall the Mark and Rudy streaks at all?
I don't, and I didn't click that far in to try to refresh my memory on the specific streaks. But
kind of amazing that Z-Bo. I would have imagined that Z-Bo would have been one.
I agree, and you know OJ Mayo that rookie year, whatever, maybe he had a hot stretch. But Ja's done it, I think, three times, and he's the only one who's done it more than five. Ja has won, that's eight games in a row. Excuse me. And so if Jaren does it tonight again, that would be the second longest streak like that in Grizzlies history.
Kind of amazing. But then you point out, this is fascinating, that it's also a very small cluster of players who have had a streak of five or more games with 15 more attempts a game.
No. That's a large cluster.
It's a large cluster?
That's the point. Very few people have had 25 points five games in a row. A lot more have had 15 shot attempts five games in a row. Just not Jaren, right?
Just not Jaren, right? Yeah. Z-Bo is in the second category, but it's not in the first category. Never did the five straight games of 25 points or more, but did do the shot attempt.
Jaws had two different stretches of more than 20 games in a row where he's had 15 or more shots, right?
And this Jaren is the first time Jaren's
hit five, yeah.
So do you think there is a permanent or a – do you think there's going to be a real tilt in number of shot attempts that Jaren will get?
Oh, I don't think he's going to keep scoring 25 a night. No. He probably won't tonight. We'll see.
An upward tick in shot attempts.
Yes. Do I think he's going to be, the co-equal? I think as you go into next season and sort of things resettle a little bit, I think Ja's going to be the leading scorer on the team next season. I think the Bane-Jaren question is sort of interesting. And, right now, Bane, I think, is at 21 this year and Jaren's at 18. I can see that equaling out a little bit more next season. But I do think, at some point, and the point may well be next season, Jaren's going to be a 20-point scorer in the NBA. Yeah.
You said this ascendance to possible all-NBA-type level player for Jaren is, it in terms of the future and potential of the franchise, it is huge. You have two all NBA level.
If you look at teams that win titles, it's not one star. It's multiple stars, and there's a certain level of stardom. And this is something I didn't. I mean, that column is 2,000 words, but this won't be a surprise to you. I left lots of stuff out that I could have gotten into, and I don't remember this off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me, but I looked at. He may or may not win Defensive Player of the Year, right? And I decided not to go into the defensive stuff because
Drew
and I had both just written two long columns about that, so I kind of left that stuff out. Yeah. It seems like he's a co-favorite with Brook Lopez.
Still.
We'll see how the vote goes. But if you look at the history of the Defensive Player of the Year award, and that started in the early 80s, so it's 40 years of history, right? I want to say there are 11 players who have won DPOY who have averaged at least 18 points a game. Which is what Jaren's averaging right now. And I want to say all of them have made an all-NBA team. Everyone.
I see.
And so the idea that you're, one of the very few best defensive players in the league, and even at 18 points a game, that doesn't happen that often, right? And that, whether you make an all-NBA team or not, definitionally, If you are a scorer of that level, even at the 18-point level, and you're one of the top five defensive players in the league, that's an all-NBA level player.
Might he make the all-NBA team this year, or are we talking?
I think it's interesting. I think he may
be more apt than Ja now?
No, I wouldn't say so. But I do think there's more depth of talent at guard than at forward. And I think if he keeps finishing this strong, I think he's going to get some votes. I do think he'll get some votes. I don't think he'll make an all-NBA team because of the games he's missed and because of the minutes played. People still hold the minutes played against him in the games he's played because people think incorrectly, but there's no dissuading them that he's doing it to himself because he can't stay on the floor because he fouls out every night. And I've illustrated, if you go month by month, you'll see that his minutes per game have gone up every month this season. His foul rate has been flat. These things have not gone in a line together. One has gone up and one has been flat, and it's because it's a team choice.
And you asked Taylor about it just the other day, and he said he is now ramping up. Is that the idea?
Yeah, they're trying to ramp him up to, that mid-30s level, which I want him to play in the playoffs. And, I got bad news for people. They need Jaren playing 40 in the playoffs. And that's where the foul thing is an issue, because I don't know if he can play 40.
Well, and that's why. I mean, with Steven Adams.
If Steven Adams doesn't come back, they need him paying like 40. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, as you point out, particularly with the way this team is constructed, with the little bitty offensive-oriented backcourt.
Jaren is – I'm not saying Jaren's the best player on the team. Right now, as the team is currently constructed, as they move to the playoffs, he is the most essential player on the team. You just saw them like win games without Ja Morant. When the only other front-court players are Tillman, who was the fifth big for most of the season, and Santi Aldama, who's never played a meaningful playoff minute in his life, and that's it – and then all your guards are pretty small, and you need someone on the back line to cover for them defensively. They need Jaren on the floor like every second they can, I think. I think
he
is the absolute.
Do we have any sense? It is funny. Like, you see Steven Adams moving around there. He's not limping around. Do we have any sense at all?
Somebody emailed me about that today. I have not responded. If you're listening, sorry, I have not responded to the email yet. I did see it. And I don't have an answer. It was like, is Steven Adams coming back? And if I knew, I'd tell you, but I don't know.
I'll tell you, when I see him walking around, he looks fine. But that's not the measure.
It's not. It's not the measure. It is notable to me that at the point where we hit this hiccup, it wasn't like he had been playing 5-on-5, full contact 5-on-5 with an anticipation he was about to come back. And then you do the medical thing, and it's sort of, and they do the stem cell injection or whatever. And so I know when they did the injection, they pulled it back again. Like, he didn't, like, start playing 5-on-5 again the next day. They pulled it back. But my expectation would be that if he was already that far along, that he would quickly get back to that point. Now, do you get back to that point and then cross the line to playing in the playoffs? That I don't know.
Okay, back to Jaren. You looked at the five games. Was there a...
Well, the thing about it is five games, he's had... So that's five. I want to say he's scored. I think there's been 10 games in March. He's hit the 20-point mark like 8 of the 10. And so, you know, he had the two-game little thing in between, but it's not just these five games. I mean, it's for really most of the month of March.
Is it opponent? Like, or is it Jaren? Or is it both? Like,
it's both.
Is there some
there's a confluence of factors. He's been munching on mismatches. That is true. But, like, we're getting to the point that, like, the percentage of players that constitute a mismatch for Jaren Jackson Jr. is going up. and so there's that.
Right.
Houston, I mean,
right.
It was like, you know, Alperen Şengün, Usman Garuba, and Jabari Smith Jr. were Tokyo, and Jaren Jackson was Godzilla, is what was happening in that game.
Used to be Godzilla.
That's right.
Against anybody.
Last season, his offense was a mess last season, and he just couldn't. His 2-point percentage last season was dreadful, and I think it's related to the knee injury and whatever and his physical growth and like it just the timing and the body and all that has sort of finally come together, and so. Like, do I think he's going to do this in the playoffs against playoff-level defenses? Like, probably not. Hopefully they don't need him to because he got Ja Morant back. But I do think this is real growth for him offensively.
The other stat you had was dunks. Dunking, many more dunks?
He has had, if I remember this correctly because I looked this up, he has had 20 more dunks this season than last season in 20 fewer games. So he'll play hopefully 10 more games. That'll even a little bit. But, you know, he played 78 games last season. So it was a full season. He missed the big chunk at the beginning of the season. So at this point, he's played 20 fewer games than a year ago and has 20 more dunks. So that's a pretty dramatic
And it feels
increase.
Like they're not like just running the court dunks or putback dunks. Now they're driving to the hoop, basking, and dunking.
He had a play in that Houston game against Jabari Smith where he got the ball, sort of a post up around just inside the free throw line. So sort of a high post up. And did two, you know, people know what crab dribbles are. That's like the LeBron James thing where you're dribbling while you're moving sort of sideways. He crab dribbled twice and just went straight up and basically did a hook shot dunk on Jabari Smith. That didn't happen a year ago.
Right.
Yeah.
It occurred to me, we know about Ja, we know about Jaren and Desmond Bane.
Yep.
Did the Grizzlies have... I think the Celtics would be the argument off the top of my head. The best homegrown trio in the league.
I mean, who's the third for the Celtics in that?
If you put Marcus Smart in there, the other two are so good, right?
Marcus Smart, he's one defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah.
I think Marcus Smart is closer to Dylan Brooks than he is to Desmond
Bane. That's true, but you got Jason Tatum.
You got Tatum and Brown.
You got Brown. So I was just trying to think, like,
Homegrown Young trio, right? I mean, Golden State's got a pretty good.
That's true. Never mind.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Homegrown Young trio. That's what I meant. I just left out a word.
Yeah, could be. I mean, well,
it doesn't matter. Homegrown, like, it doesn't.
Homegrown doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You
look at Cleveland, like,
yes.
You know, Jared Allen technically is not homegrown,
right?
And neither is Donovan Mitchell. But in terms of Young trio, so I was listening. So I reference this every once in a while, but the Nate Duncan podcast thing, they've been doing a thing where they've been ranking. Nearing the end of the season, we're ranking the players at every position, right? So they've done all of them at this point. They had Ja Morant as the top five point guard, defensible. Yep. They had Jared as the top five power forward, I think true. They had Bane as the top five scoring guard. Now, they don't have an individual player who's a top five player in the league.
Right.
You can debate whether they have an individual player who is top 10. I think that's a real conversation about Ja. And typically, if you're going to win a title, you got one of those guys. But
if you've got one of each.
But if you, there are only, there are five positions, a top five at each position, that's 25 right. players total. There's 30 teams.
Right.
So you got three top five players at their position, and guess what? They're 23, 23, and 24. This is why, like I don't know what's happened this season. I think, to me, the over-under line for the Grizzlies is like, you know, the second round probably, even though they're the two seed. And so I'm not saying Grizzlies are going to win a title this year. They may never win a title. I don't know. But they are set up to, like, be really good.
They are set up to be really good.
For, like, 10 years. Like, let's go. You know?
Yeah, you get it now. I mean, yes, in the end, you need them all at their zenith, you know, or something together, right? You need, like, yeah, I still don't think Desmond Bane is 100%.
I don't either.
And so will you ever have this Jaren and Desmond Bane 100% and, whatever. And who knows?
You wait for everything to line up. It just never lines up. I mean, this is a point I was sort of had in my back pocket to make, like, when the time comes. But I'll just go ahead and do it on the show because whatever. The way things are headed, this will be the second season in a row the Grizzlies will have fielded an entire rotation under 30 years old. They will have had their preferred starting lineup for 11 games exactly over the course of 82, and they'll finish second in the West.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty good stuff.
The West is still a mess.
Yeah.
It does. They're two games up in second. And honestly, during this stretch, when everyone expected them, not everyone, but the lot of suspicion that they would fall out of maybe down to fourth, what they've actually done is gotten closer to first.
Yeah.
Because Denver, it is interesting. Everyone's struggling with all kinds of injuries and whatever else. Denver's just struggling with, like, inability to stop people.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Denver's just sort of hit a rough patch, and you wonder how much of that is, like, their defensive problems, sort of chickens coming home the roost, whatever. I wonder how much of that is, I mean, Jokic has still been great, but he doesn't seem like, you know, he seems like, let's get ready for the playoffs. I don't really want this MVP. Let's just move on. I still would pick Denver to come out of the West. I feel less, you know, certainly I was never certain about that. I feel less strongly about it than I did a few months ago, partly because, like, the Phoenix Suns traded for Kevin Durant.
Right.
That changes things. And then Denver didn't do as strong of a move at the deadline as I thought they were going to. They basically just sort of didn't really do anything. And now they're stumbling a little bit into the end, but I would still,
I would still
put Denver and Phoenix sort of ahead of everyone else in terms of.
So everyone discount Sacramento. They're
yeah,
they're,
I sort of
offensively,
do too, and I feel bad about it.
Offensively, they're fabulous. Defensively, they're a mess.
And they just, they've never done this before.
And they've never done it before. Did you hate the trade last year when they made it?
No, I didn't hate it because I've always really liked Sabonis. Like,
right.
I've always been a big Sabonis fan. That said, in a vacuum, I thought it was better for Indiana. It still did and
well,
still,
it was also
still do.
Kind of desperate. You're going to get Sabonis. He's probably going to leave you at some point.
Yeah,
that was
the
feeling, right? Like he would.
Right. No, I would rather, if you're starting from scratch, I'd rather have Talatarius Halliburton than Domantas Sabonis. Of course, they weren't starting from scratch.
Right.
They had De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
And that was sort of the complication. And so, like, it's worked out. I mean, Indiana's not going to make the playoffs, but they also don't want to. So I think that trade has worked out for both teams. I mean, again, if from a raw value proposition, you would say Indiana did
right.
got the better of it. But guess what? Sacramento hadn't been to the playoffs in 20 years, and here they are, third in the West.
If the proverbial season ended today, it feels like the right teams are in. Like right now,
yes.
The right teams right. are in, right?
Is right now, yes.
Right now,
right.
Because the teams that want to be in are in.
Phoenix,
the
Clippers.
Lakers are in.
It feels like, it certainly feels like from an upside perspective. You look at the 4-6 in the West, where the you know above that cutoff line for the play-in. Phoenix, Clippers, Warriors. Those are the higher upside teams, I believe, than Minnesota, Dallas, Lakers, Pelicans.
What would be the best among the first round series that we could very realistically see? You could have a Phoenix Golden State. No, you could have a
yeah.
Yes,
I mean, sure.
Well, I mean, you could easily, you know what you could easily have? You could easily have a
Phoenix Golden State in the first round. Let's do that. Let's
Phoenix
make that
Golden
happen.
Golden State in the first round, yeah.
They'd be on the opposite side of the bracket from the Grizzlies. We would get Durant and, you know, going at the Warriors in a first round playoff series. Winner gets the Nuggets, probably. I'm all for it. Let's make it happen.
Could you have a. No. Unlikely. Well, I mean, you could have anything. It doesn't really matter.
You could have they, just they would, about anything.
Someone like
right
a Sacramento
now.
Lakers first round series would be sort of fun.
So that would
take a little juggling.
That's
at this moment.
The
Lakers would have yes.
That is among the there are two different paths to that, and they're both somewhat less likely than most of the other
right.
paths. Yeah.
All right. The piece is up at the Daily Memphian. I would urge you to read it. It's 2,000 words, and it's fabulous. And you're going tonight. Grizz and Rockets, and then who's Sunday? Sunday is Atlanta.
They're at Atlanta.
At Atlanta.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.